This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The ethics of mediator disclosure and conflict of interest. Why transparency is the foundation every effective mediator builds on. In short, a mediator's neutrality is not just a professional standard. It is the only reason both parties stay in the room. Undisclosed conflicts, even minor ones, corrode the trust that mediation depends on entirely. Disclosure is not an admission of failure. It is the act that gives informed consent its meaning. When a mediator conflict of interest goes unaddressed, any agreement reached stands on hollow ground. Definition: mediator conflict of interest refers to any personal, financial, relational, or professional connection a mediator holds that could, or could reasonably appear to, compromise their impartiality toward one party, the other, or the outcome of the dispute being mediated. There is a pattern I have watched repeat itself more times than I care to count. A mediation falls apart, not because the parties were too far apart, not because the issues were too complex, but because someone eventually says, "I never trusted this person from the start." When you dig into why, you find it almost every time. Something was known and not said. A prior relationship, a shared history, a stake in the outcome that the mediator kept quiet, perhaps even to themselves. The ethics of mediator disclosure and conflict of interest sit at the very heart of what makes mediation work or fail. This is not a procedural footnote. It is the ground the whole process stands on. Why mediator neutrality is more fragile than it looks. Most people understand, at a surface level, that a mediator should be neutral. What they underestimate is how easily that neutrality can be undermined before the first session begins. Neutrality is not a fixed state. It is a perception held by the parties, and it lives or dies on what they know. A mediator may be genuinely impartial in every fibre of their being, but if one party later discovers an undisclosed connection, that genuine impartiality becomes irrelevant. What the party experienced, what they will remember, is that something was hidden from them. This is the fragility that disclosure is designed to protect against. It is not primarily about preventing actual bias, though it does that too. It is about preserving the conditions under which both parties can trust the process enough to participate honestly. Without that trust, mediation has no mechanism. You are simply putting two people in a room. When you look at how to handle conflict during meetings, the same principle applies the moment a party suspects the process is rigged. Even slightly, they stop engaging in good faith. In mediation, that moment is fatal. What disclosure actually means in practice. Disclosure sounds straightforward. Tell the parties what they need to know. In practice, mediators underestimate what they need to know actually covers. There are obvious disclosures: a prior professional relationship with one party, a financial connection to their business, a close friendship with someone involved. These are the ones mediators tend to catch. The harder disclosures are the subtler ones. A strong prior opinion about the type of dispute. A minor social connection to one party that the mediator dismisses as insignificant. A past mediation with one of the parties that the other party does not know about. The test I apply is this: if either party would want to know it, you disclose it. Not if it would definitely affect my judgment, but if a reasonable person in that party's position would consider it relevant to their decision to proceed. That is a wider net, and deliberately so. The cost of disclosing something that turns out to be inconsequential is almost nothing. The cost of not disclosing something that matters is the entire process. Disclosure should happen before the mediation begins, ideally at first contact. If something emerges during the process, you stop, you name it, and you give the parties the choice. Tension management mistakes to avoid when mediating between two strong personalities includes the impulse to push through discomfort rather than address it directly. That impulse is dangerous in a mediator. Pausing to disclose mid-process takes courage. It is always the right call. The difference between actual and perceived conflict. Here is where most mediators, even experienced ones, get into trouble. They focus on actual conflict of interest and dismiss perceived conflict as less serious or even as the party's problem to manage. This is wrong. Perceived conflict is equally damaging to the mediation process. Perhaps more so, because it is harder to correct. Actual bias means the mediator genuinely favours one outcome. Perceived bias means a party believes the mediator might, regardless of whether that belief is accurate. Both destroy the same thing: the party's willingness to be vulnerable. to negotiate honestly, to reach a settlement they can live with. And voluntary participation, which is the cornerstone of mediation's legitimacy, requires that both parties feel safe enough to engage fully. This is why the ethical standard in mediation is not, am I actually biased? But could a reasonable person believe I might be? If the answer to the second question is yes, disclosure is required. The mediator does not get to decide that the perception is wrong and therefore irrelevant. That decision belongs to the parties. The core framework for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations teaches that grounding yourself in the present moment is what allows you to respond rather than react. A mediator applying that same discipline will recognise when a perceived conflict is emerging, rather than suppressing the discomfort and pressing forward. When the conflict requires withdrawal. Disclosure gives the parties information. It does not automatically resolve the problem. Sometimes, even with full disclosure, the right answer is for the mediator to step back entirely. This is the decision many mediators resist, understandably. You have invested time in understanding the dispute. You may believe you can handle it fairly. Withdrawal feels like failure. It is not failure. It is the highest expression of the mediator's responsibility to the process. The question is never can I still be fair. The question is can both parties genuinely trust that I'm fair. When a conflict of interest is substantial, a close personal relationship, a financial stake in the outcome, a strong prior involvement with the dispute itself, the answer to that second question is almost never yes, regardless of how the mediator feels about their own integrity. Practical guides like how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy remind us that the method only works when the conditions are right. The same holds for mediation. A method applied in the wrong conditions does not produce a weaker result. It produces no result, or worse, a result that later collapses. Withdrawal, delivered with care and a clear referral to another mediator, actually builds confidence in the process. It signals to both parties that their interests are protected, not just by this mediator's intentions, but by the standards of the practice itself. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What goes wrong when disclosure is skipped? Let me tell you something I have learned the hard way, watching this unfold across more disputes than I can number. The mediators who skip disclosure really do so out of bad faith. They do so because the connection feels minor, because naming it feels awkward, because they are confident in their own fairness and do not see why a small thing should complicate a process they believe they can manage well. What they do not fully reckon with is this: their confidence in their own fairness is irrelevant to the parties. The parties are not inside the mediator's head. They are watching the process from the outside, making judgments based on what they observe and what they are told. When they later discover an undisclosed connection, they do not think, well, he seemed fair enough. They think, what else wasn't I told? That question, once asked, does not go away. It spreads backward through everything, every suggestion the mediator offered, every moment they felt the process tilting slightly, every compromise they made. The agreement itself becomes suspect. Strategies for diffusing heated conversations are built on the insight that what people feel in the moment shapes how they interpret everything that follows. An undisclosed conflict, discovered after the fact, reframes the entire mediation experience in the worst possible light. The practical consequence is severe. Agreements can be challenged. Relationships damaged by the dispute, which mediation was meant to help repair, become further damaged by the sense of manipulation. And the mediator's reputation, whatever it was before, is diminished in ways that take years to rebuild. How skilled mediators build disclosure into the process. The mediators I have seen handle this well do not treat disclosure as a separate ethical obligation they discharge at the start and then forget. They treat it as a continuous practice. Here is what that looks like in real terms. Before accepting a case, they conduct a genuine conflict check, not just running through the obvious categories, but asking themselves honestly, is there anything about this situation that would make either party uncomfortable if they knew it? They think about professional networks, not just direct relationships. They consider whether they have any prior knowledge of the dispute that was not shared with both parties. They disclose early, clearly, and without minimising. Not I should mention I once crossed paths with your colleague, though it was years ago, and I'm sure it is irrelevant. Simply, I want to tell you about a connection I have so you can decide whether you are comfortable proceeding. The tone matters. Minimizing the disclosure, while technically making it is not disclosure. It is cover. They give the parties genuine space to respond. Not a rushed so, shall we proceed? But a real pause, an explicit statement that the parties may take time to consider, and a clear offer to find another mediator if that would serve them better. This is also how nonverbal communication in tense situations connects to mediation ethics. How a mediator carries themselves when making a disclosure, whether they meet the party's eyes, whether they sit forward or lean away, whether their tone is open or slightly defensive, tells the parties as much as the words do. And when something emerges mid-process, they stop. They do not file it away and keep going. They name it at the next natural pause, or sooner if it is significant. That takes courage. It also takes the kind of practice self-awareness that comes from treating every mediation as a real responsibility, not just a process to complete. The deal method for resolving workplace tension before it escalates is built on the same principle: address what is real before it becomes what is catastrophic. A mediator who waits, who tells themselves the issue will probably not matter, is making the same error the method warns against. The trust that disclosure actually builds. There is an irony here that practitioners eventually come to understand. Disclosure feels risky. It feels like it might shake the party's confidence in you, make them question whether you should be there at all. In my experience, the opposite is almost always true. When a mediator names a potential conflict clearly and early, most parties respond with more confidence in the process, not less. They see someone taking their interests seriously enough to be honest with them. They see the kind of integrity they need to trust a difficult process. They understand that they are in the room voluntarily, with full information, which means whatever they agree to is genuinely theirs. This is what informed consent actually means in practice. It is not a signature on a form. It is the party's genuine belief that they know what they need to know, that nothing relevant is being managed on their behalf without their awareness, and that they can leave if they choose. Disclosure is what makes that belief real. A mediator who masters this understands something that goes beyond procedural correctness. Transparency is not a constraint on effective mediation. It is the condition that makes effective mediation possible. Mediator conflict of interest, handled honestly and promptly, becomes one more demonstration of the mediator's trust within us rather than a threat to it. Frequently asked questions. What is mediator conflict of interest? Mediator conflict of interest occurs when a mediator has a personal, financial, or relational connection to one of the parties or the outcome that could compromise their neutrality. Even a perceived conflict, if undisclosed, can invalidate the entire process and destroy the trust of all parties involved. When should a mediator disclose a conflict of interest? A mediator should disclose any potential conflict before the process begins, ideally at the initial contact stage. If a conflict emerges during the mediation itself, the mediator must pause and disclose immediately. Late disclosure is damaging, but silence is always worse. Transparency is non-negotiable. What happens if a mediator fails to disclose a conflict of interest? If a mediator fails to disclose a conflict of interest, any agreement reached may be challenged or invalidated. More critically, the parties lose trust in the process. A hidden conflict, once discovered, poisons not just this mediation, but the willingness of those parties to try again in the future. How does mediator disclosure protect all parties? Mediator disclosure gives every party the information they need to decide whether to proceed. It transfers the choice to the parties rather than keeping it hidden with the mediator. This informed consent is what keeps the process voluntary, fair, and legitimate. Without it, participation cannot be truly free. Can a mediator continue if a conflict of interest exists? A mediator can sometimes continue if all parties are fully informed of the conflict and give clear, voluntary consent to proceed. However, if the conflict is substantial, a close relationship, a financial stake, or a strong prior opinion about the outcome, the right choice is always to withdraw and find someone else. How does perceived bias differ from actual bias in mediation? Actual bias means the mediator genuinely favours one party. Perceived bias means a party believes the mediator might, even if that belief is wrong. Both are equally damaging to the process. A skilled mediator addresses perceived bias through proactive disclosure, because trust in mediation depends on what parties believe, not just on what is true. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, The best-selling book Safe Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.